Welcome to the Watermark Church Podcast. Today we will be continuing the Toxic Series with Week 5, Toxic Relationships. Let's listen in with Pastor Jarvis Glanzer.
Before we get into the Word this morning, I just want to preface this by saying this. I want to apologize before I start because what we're going through this Toxic Series, Toxic Relationships, I'm not joking, this should be an 8 to 10 week series. Because there's no way I can cover today what everybody in this room is going through. There's no possible way. I mean, here's what I'm going to say. I need you to be honest, and I'm going to share some things. I'm going to share some toxic things that happens. A lot of things I'm going to share today is about making some good pre-decisions. Here's what I want us to do. Even if you're an adult or a youth, you have to get away with the Lord and decide the kind of person you're going to be for the rest of your life right now. Because when the times come that someone tempts you to do something you shouldn't be doing, or trial comes, what's going to happen is this, is that you're going to learn to change your identity with who you are because you didn't make the right pre-decisions in your life to be who God has called you to do and be. Here's the deal. One of God's goals is to establish you and allow you to be who he has created you to be. One of Satan's biggest tools is to not let you become who God has created you to be. So if he can get you doing stupid stuff, then he won't worry about the important stuff. And so what's interesting about this is saying, listen, there's some people, I'm not going to be naive, there's some people in this room who are in abusive relationships. You have got to seek help. Because today we're going to deal with a little bit of this, but if you're in a manipulative relationship, a controlling relationship, you have got to seek help. And here's the deal. Marriages, I'm going to be honest with you. I did a wedding yesterday. My wife is actually doing a wedding next weekend. Isn't that amazing? I'm not. She's doing a wedding. First one. That's amazing. And so we're doing a wedding next weekend. And here's what we tell people when we do pre-marriage counseling. Any healthy relationship takes work. Anything. Even your relationship with God doesn't come natural sometimes. Every relationship takes work, and it's not if it's what God called to do, don't pull the plug and just quit. Keep working at it. Stay humble. Stay positive, but fill in people around you. And this is what I want to talk about today. Surround yourself with the right people. Here's what I hate. When I was a youth pastor, I'd have people come to me all the time and tell me what they think they should do, and the people they talk to for advice that told them what they should do. My first question was, the advice that you got from that person, are they spiritually wise? And he would say, well, they don't really like the Lord or love the Lord or whatever. I'm like, then why are you asking? Because I'm like, this is what I would tell them. All you're trying to do is justify your dumb decision. That's all you're trying to do. You're trying to get somebody else behind me saying, well, I talked to this person. They said it was okay. Well, that doesn't mean it's okay. Just because they're dumb doesn't mean you should be dumb. Right? I'm sorry to say dumb, but I'm just saying, listen, we justify our actions saying, well, it's okay. I'm just saying in all relationships, I'm just trying to throw this out because it takes work. And I'm telling you this, toxic relationships happen because of toxic people. It's not because our relationship is toxic. It's because we are toxic people. And if you want to get your relationship better, you get this relationship better. Is this making sense? The first thing we should always do, I'm going to preach about this today. The first thing we should do is get this good. And once this is getting good, our relationships will be coming good. And so we need to get healthy. We need to get healthy. And so, and one more soapbox, here we go. If you don't like what you're getting from your spouse, check out what you're giving your spouse. Because usually what you're getting is usually what you're giving. And I think it's very hard to evaluate ourselves because we don't just take that time. We just instantly get mad and go, oh, I can't stand when they do this. But we literally get caught up doing it ourselves. So there it is. How's that sound? And so I just want us to throw us out. So if you can put that verse on a screen, that'd be awesome. That first verse, it says this. So dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your bodies to God. Let them be a living, holy sacrifice that God, kind God will accept. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Lord, I pray for the congregation this morning. As we hear this morning your word, Lord, help us to be transformed and renewed in Jesus' name. Amen. You can grab a seat. Anybody in this room have some crazy aunts and uncles? Like, if you think about relationships, think about this. Don't you instantly think of, like, not just toxic, but anybody have a crazy aunt or uncle or cousin that all the family reunions and all functions, like, I'm going to try to make no eye contact. I'm going to keep on moving. And when they give you a present, you're like, that's the next garage sale item. Or whatever it is. You just have these crazy aunts or uncles. Anybody, so you guys have this with me. Now, here's the funny thing. If you don't have them, chances are you are them. Right? If you don't have a crazy person in your family that you can name, it's probably you. And so you're probably that crazy person. But it's interesting because I think life is either it's life draining or life giving. You have relationships that are either going to bring life or just suck the life. And so it's like a faucet you have in a drain. Like the water comes in and it gets poured in and it goes out. And so some people you hang out with are literally just joy suckers, aren't they? Just like you hang out with them and you just want to take a shower after you spend 10 minutes with them. You're like, ugh, that was old and gossipy and nasty and it just was filthy. And then some people you hang out with, you're like, wow, I'm going to go conquer the world today, right? And so the question I have for you is, what kind of person are you? I want us today evaluate, every Sunday I want us to look at ourselves, but I want us to look at ourselves saying, am I a drain to be around or am I a faucet? Am I bringing something, am I bringing life to conversations or am I sucking it? Is it all about me? I'm telling you, my favorite people to hang out with, Shino, can I just tell you, Shino's a good friend of mine. He hates when I embarrass him, so here we go. right? Like, I just want to encourage you, because he's a good friend, and our sons play football together, and I walk up and say, Shino, how's it going? We just hang out, and right away, Shino's like, hey, how's this going? He remembered, like, three things going on in my week. He's like, hey, how's this going? How's this work out? How's this going? I'm like, dude, thanks for asking. That's awesome. I just want to point that out. For me, it's like when you hang out with those people who care for you, you walk away like shrunk. Isn't that funny? You just walk away going, that was awesome. I love being with them. But sometimes the people just suck the life out of you. Relationships, like I said before, they're not just toxic. People are toxic. As a youth pastor, I'm telling you, as we go into toxic relationships, as the youth pastor, the number one distraction I had, and my wife will tell you, with students is this. People can get into the party scene. People can get into, like, drugs. People can get all this. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying it's all bad. But you know what the number one reason that students left the youth ministry and we no longer saw them again was bad, toxic relationships. They would date somebody. They would justify it. They would get all engrossed with, I'm in love, and I'm in ninth grade. And I'm like, are you kidding me? How do you know you're in love? He wore purple, I wore purple, just match. Something like, I don't know what it is. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, and this person would literally not bring life, and instead it would be a distraction to them spiritually. I always told the students, I would say, how's the relationship going? And they would never tell me. I said, if you're hiding your relationship from the pastor, it's probably not healthy. And if you have to lie about it, if you're lying about your relationship, you probably shouldn't be in it. And if you have to justify it, for sure not be in it. So what's interesting about this is as we're going through, I just want us to read. So Samson and Delilah in Judges 16, 13 through 22, we're not going to go into it, but everybody know the story of Samson. Samson was a Nazirite. He had unlimited strength. He could take a jawbone of an animal and destroy like lions and tigers. And God empowered him with good looks and strength, right? Like good looks and strength. And so he had all the strength, but he took a Nazirite vow, which means you cannot do certain things. And one of them was you cannot cut your hair. And what's interesting, the power wasn't in the hair. And when you check this out, the power was in the obedience. So many people said, well, he cut his hair and we'll lose his power. Come on, it's not like a superhero. It's just there's power in the obedience of being a Nazirite vow. Okay, I just want to catch this. So here is just this man of God called by God a Nazirite. Only a few people take this vow. He is strong. He's doing mighty things. And he meets this girl named Delilah. You guys remember the story? And then he meets Delilah, who is this seductress, who is this like lady friend of his. And he doesn't know this, but Delilah is not working on his side. Delilah is actually a spy from the enemy, working, trying to figure out how to trick Samson, because if they can't defeat Samson, when Samson's around, they lose the battle. So the enemy's saying, we got to figure this out. So they send in Delilah, this beautiful seductress, to say, find his tricks. So the first time, they go to him, and this is what begins to happen. Let's read this. And then she said to him, how can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? You come on, just be honest with me, she's saying. This is the third time you have made a fool of me, and you haven't told me the secret of the great strength. He's literally told her, well, if you bind my hands, my back, when I sleep, I won't be able to get out, and that's the secret of my power. And that didn't happen. He was freed. And finally, he gave in. He said this. He said, he says, what is the secret of your great strength? 16 says, with such nagging, she prodded him. Oh, anybody else catch that? I don't even need to go into that. With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. So he told her everything. He said, no razor has been used on my head, he said, because I have been a Nazirite set apart to God since birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave, and I would become as weak as any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she went out to the rulers of the Philistines, the enemy, came back at once more. He has told me everything. So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. Having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and the strength left him. Then she called Samson, the Philistine of Pounding. She woke him up. Jerk. And then he said, he awoke from the sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know. Check this out. He did not know that the Lord had left him. Think about that. She was only used to seduce him, to bind him. Check this out. She was used from the enemy to bind him, to blind him, to subdue him, and to distract him. And it worked. He was now controlled because he allowed something other than the Lord to dictate his emotions, his actions, and who he is. He allowed a toxic person have a relationship with him, and now the Lord's presence left him. Now think about this. Samson had everything going from power, prosperity, good looks, physique, the call of God. He had everything, and he lost it right then because he allowed this person. Now listen, in your life, it can be a guy or a girl. He allowed this person to control and to manipulate and change what God has called to be. So as a youth pastor, and now as a pastor, I'm telling you, toxic relationships are a big deal. When people go on mission trips, or here's what I get nervous about, even when I was at Evangel College, a seminary, I put on this giant conference for all students, and tons of people came. It was an amazing spiritual weekend. Guess what? I started dating a girl the next week thinking she's the one. She was for sure not the one. It was a bad relationship. It was a toxic relationship. But this is how the enemy works. When everything is going great, he comes in sometimes to distract, to kill, and to destroy what God has started. So I'm telling you, there's stuff in the works. And so if you think, I'm going to be fine, I'm telling you who is influencing whom. So here's just a side note. So We have some people in this room who might be dating. Here's a side note. I'm telling you, this is not really part of my sermon, but I wanted to throw it in. Dating relationships. Some people are toxic dating relationships. So here's my thing. We have to get the mentality out of your head if you're dating or if you want to date that something is better than nothing. Somebody say, well, I'm never going to find anybody better. Dude, oh, here we go. I'd rather be wishing I had a relationship than wishing I was out of a relationship. Let me repeat this. I'd rather be wishing I had a relationship and then wishing I was out of a toxic relationship. When people say, well, something's better than nothing, it's not true. Honestly, it's not true because something unhealthy is worse than something. It's interesting because even for us, as we grow forward, and I'm just going to say, like, be careful what you're trying to attract. You guys and girls, even as you date and be together, you don't attract. Now, check this out. As you're trying to attract the person you want to fall in love with you, don't attract what you want. You attract who you are. So when people come in all the time saying, oh, I just date the biggest losers ever, and I just show up and they just love them. I'm like, dude, you attract what you are. I'm not saying you're a loser. I'm just saying if you work on you and you grow spiritually, there's something about ready to change in you. And so just a side note. So some of you your marriages are toxic. We're going to talk this through, but it's better to be wishing that you're in a healthy relationship than wishing you're out of a toxic relationship. So here, let's go really fast. Three common toxic types of people. I'm just going to list three. There's thousands. So I'm just going to list three types of toxic people. And this, when I say relationships, this is not just dating or marriage. This is work, everything. This is people. So the first one is this. Number one is critics, fault finders. These are the people that when you're with them, they're finding the negative in everything. So these are the people, to them, deep conversations means that they're stating a fact about somebody else. These are the people that says that when their deep conversations is being critical and mean and gossiping. So it's either too hot, too cold, too rainy, too dry. Worship is too loud. Preaching is too loud. Right? Or I'm just not being fed, or the server at the restaurant is bad. These are the people I do not like eating food with at restaurants, because these are the people that are always just like being critical of everything, and food is never right. So picture this. The Israelites were enslaved in Egypt. All these years, they're praying for freedom, and God, Moses shows up with the Lord, and he brings the Israelites out of slavery. And then they get to the Red Sea. And you guys all know the picture of the Ten Commandment movie and everything. And they go through the Red Sea. The Egyptians that were chasing were destroyed. So no longer slaves to Egypt. They're no longer being chased. Now they're going to the Promised Land. And when they're in a promise, like, they've seen miracles and miracles and miracles. Like, they got free. They've seen, like, I'm telling you, if all of us went down the St. Croix and I lifted up a staff and we all walked through the St. Croix, most of us be walking. Jeff would be fishing. But literally, some of us would just be like, this is amazing. You'd be just grabbing fish, touching water. And you'd be thinking, I'm never going to question God ever again. And then a few weeks later, if you were the Israelites, you're going, oh, woe is me. I'm so thirsty, and there's no water in the desert. And then you start saying, where is the food? Where is the stuff? And you complain. You still complain. There's not enough food, not enough water. It is mentioned 14 times in Scripture that the Israelites complained that they didn't have enough. You were slaves. And now you're saying, there's not enough. I'm not happy. And then they started saying, I'd rather be a slave back in Egypt because at least I had water. And I think, how many people are like this? Because the mentality says this. Their motto of critical people is saying, what's in it for me? They get all the luxury. They have this. They have this. They get this. What's in it for me? And part of me is this. I heard this from a pastor, and I love this. Referees. You can put this picture up. This is really fun. Now, you might lose a game or win a game because of a referee call, but guess what? Referees don't score points. Right, Jim? Referees don't score points. You never say, hey, blow the whistle, get the referee in there, let's go. Dude, I think too long in life, there is too many referees and not enough players. I think what we try to do, especially in church, I'm not saying this one, church as a whole, the churches I've been part of, there's too many people who complain and blow the whistle and call plays and say, that's good, that's offsides, that's not yours, that's mine. You know what I'm saying? This is not good, it's not, you know what I'm saying? There's too many people who are referees and there's not enough people who are just players who are getting in the game, who are, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna be part of this. So the question I have for you is this. Are you active with the Lord, not playing, but are you active in the game? Or are you just trying to, you know what I'm saying, play the caution card and saying that's not right. Be the critical person and blow the whistle. You know what I love? I love people saying, let's strap up, let's go, let's do what God's called us to do. I think it's interesting because I don't want us to be critical. I don't want us to be ignorant either, but I think about a life. It's saying, let's not be critical. Number two is this. Toxic relationships are controllers. Toxic people are some people are controllers. Overbearing and force their opinions and their ways on others. You begin to lose, if you're in a controlling relationship, here's what begins to happen. You begin to lose your personal identity. They want to control you. Even the simplest decisions become hard. You tend to surrender to avoid another fight. You tend to lie more just to justify them. Your relationship is no longer open to others. You're now secluded like an island to yourself. You begin to feel that you have no voice or opinion. Person will use that you're with will use manipulation to get their way, make you feel dumb and insecure, and make you doubt your decisions, even with the Lord every day. So we need to listen. Somehow avoid allowing controllers to become too much of an influence in our lives. Now, some of us have made decisions, not me, but some people, my wife is not this way, but sometimes we make a decision in a relationship that we're in a controlling relationship, that we're married. And this is where I say you have got to seek help. Some people, you're dating somebody and you're thinking, he's a little controlling, we're going to get married, it's going to get better once we get married. I'm just telling people, listen, make some good pre-decisions. You know what I'm saying? Number three is this, tempter. These are the people that encourage you to do things you shouldn't do. And I'm telling you, bad company, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Choose your company. Choose your friends wisely. Choose the people you connect with wisely. A smart person once said this, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Let me repeat that. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You want to know where you're going to be in the next 10 to 15 years? Who do you hang out with? It's interesting because we at times say, well, I can influence this crowd. I can change these people. I can do this. But we at times change by the crowd that we are around. And so the question is, are you easily influenced by the people that you hang out with? So I got a question for you. Are you different here on Sunday mornings than you are with your high school friends? Are you different here on Sundays than you are at home with your kids and your spouse? Or are you different here than you are someplace else? And the question I have for that is saying, then why? Because the word holy, when you think about the word holy, actually comes from the word holistic. And this is a Greek terminology that means holistic. The word holistic actually means all together. It means all. It doesn't mean that your life is compartmentalized. It doesn't mean, well, this is my spiritual life. Over here is my family, over here is my work, over here is my football friends, over here is my high school friends. It's not saying that. What it's saying is that all together, everything works together in your life. Not saying you're perfect. Now listen, you're not saying you're perfect, but you're saying that you are who God has called you to be in all areas. You're not being influenced by the people that you hang out with, unless they're good people. And what's interesting is this. One of my goals as a pastor, but mostly as a dad is, and you can ask my wife this, I want to be the same person on Sunday mornings that I am on Monday mornings. That's hard, right? We're talking about Mondays last week. It's hard. I want to be the same person. I don't want my kids to see somebody different because I'm going to confuse, who's my dad? Is that pastor dad or is that my home dad? Right? Because here's what begins to happen. It's more is caught than taught. Let me repeat that. More is caught than taught. So your kids are catching who you are. If you're a person who can manipulate and control and change, you might be telling your kids, don't be this way, but since more is caught than taught, we are teaching the people that we love most who we are. We're teaching these basics of saying, this is what's going on. And so are you around tempters? Maybe you gossip more with certain friends. Maybe you tolerate more with certain people. Maybe you are a sailor mouth, a potty mouth with different people. I don't know what it is. But maybe you hang out with these people. Maybe you're like, I don't even like hanging out with these people. I don't like who I am with these people. But you stay hanging out with them. And so let's just move on here and says, but I just want to be the same person. So here's the next thing. How do we love our family and friends into life-giving relationships? And those are just three things, just toxic types of people. Listen, like I said, there's 1,000 more, and I can't get into all of them. There's no way. I just wanted to give out some of the basics. But how do we love people? Now listen, how do we go from toxic relationships into healthy, deep, striving, growing, non-toxic relationships? Now I know everybody's different, so all I can do is just give the basic, but here's number one. Number one says this, set up healthy boundaries. For instance, when I was with that sheep lady, that rancher lady a few months ago, she literally, one of the things she did was she created a new pasture for her sheep every 3 days. So I would literally, she was there. I was there when she was doing this. She would take the electric fence, shut it off, and she would move it to a different pasture and put it down, and then she would move the sheep into that new pasture, and she would protect the sheep with her fence. So I just asked her, I said, I know why you put the fence up, but what's the main reasons? And she says, it's not to keep the sheep in, it's to keep the predators out. And I said, hallelujah. Now listen, I'm not saying you got to create these giant walls and these giant electric fences around your life, and you're not going to keep any bad things. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying you go total Amish on me here. So check this out. But I am saying this. There has to be a way for us to build proper fences to help us enjoy the good people without inhaling all the negative in people in our life. Examples of offense. If a person that you are hanging out with is a constant gossiper, and every time you hang out with them, all it is spewing just junk, and they're talking about everybody, and you're just saying, this is not healthy for me. If they gossip about you, and if they can gossip to you, they can gossip about you. Right? If they can gossip to you, they're gossiping about you. So what do? I'm just telling you, if there's people in our life who are literally that when we are with them and they're just spewing this stuff out, you can have a spiritual conversation with them and just saying, I'm just going to be honest with you. Like, I just don't want to talk about that stuff. Is that okay? I just don't want to go there. We can pray for that person, but I don't want to talk about that person. And that's the first step. And if they say something like, what a tightwad, you miss the spiritual, Mr. Spiritual, and just say, well, I mean, and if they keep on pressing it, then you just got to say, hey, we can have coffee, but if we're going to talk about this, no more coffee. Just separate it. Is that making sense? Because here's the deal. If you are being more influenced than you are influencing somebody, we got to do a check here. Now, listen, I'm not encouraging to build up fences everywhere in your life. I want you to build more bridges than you do fences. But I also want you to be smartest in what God has, what about these toxic relationships in our life? And so number two is this. Look for healthy relationships. You need to take responsibility to find healthy people in your life. Don't wait for somebody to find you. Now listen, what I really hate is this, is someone comes up to me and says, hey, can you mentor me? And I'm like, sure, I'll mentor you. And here's what I tell people, it's on you. I'm not gonna come and call you every 5 days and do this and do this. If you really wanna change, I'll help you change, but it's kind of on you, honestly. Because here's the deal, I do the same thing. I'm preaching to you what I'm doing. I have like 5 people in my life. One lives in Texas, one lives in California. I got a couple in Minneapolis. And what I do is every single month, I go out of my way and I will either call them, I'll Skype them, I'll try to work out their schedule, but I try to rub shoulders with these people as much as I can because I want to go out of my way, not them go out of their way. I want to go out of my way to make sure I'm choosing the best influence in my life so I can grow spiritually to the next level. Is that making sense? I am making a decision to surround myself with people, to grow further with people and do the same. So it's interesting because find people who influence you. Surround yourself with people influencing you. Can you put that cross up there, Sarah? So this, I talked about this like a year ago. And the little black dot represents you. This is all of us. That little circle in the middle represents you. The dots on the side represent your friends, your accountability partners, the people that you trust to influence your life. And you can put your own names up there. And then the dots above you are the people, your mentors, the people you look up to for advice, are the people that you're saying, I want these people to pour into me. If I have a situation, I want them to know about it. And then the people below, you can see, are the people that we're saying, we're going to help change. I'm going to go help in the nursery and love these kids. I don't want to just sign up for the Haiti mission trip. I want to go in the back room and love the nursery kids and help out in there. I want to help out with the youth kids. I want to help out and go to nursing homes or whatever, to retirement homes and help out, whatever it is. But you're finding people that you can pour into, because what happens, sometimes you're poured into, and if you're not being poured out of, you're just going to sit there like a swamp. And that's what's going to happen. But if you're constantly being poured into and you're pouring out, you're being challenged. And that's the perfect discipleship cross. Is that making sense? And I think for us, surround yourself with people in your life who are going to take you to the next level. I'm not saying that the only friends that you should, now listen, I'm not saying the only friends that you should have is Christian friends. I go out of my way to meet people who don't go to church here. I'm telling you, it is healthy for us to connect and meet with people who may not believe everything we believe. It's okay to connect with people who may not agree with everything we believe. This is healthy, totally healthy. But I'm telling you, I'm just really talking about the people who you want to influence your life, your closest friends, the people you want to ask advice from. Those are the people, I'm just saying, for us, is we want this to be healthy. And people tell me all the time, like, well, I've been going to church here for 6 months and I have no friends. You want to know a good rule of advice? If you're taking notes, write this down. In order to have a friend, be a friend. In order to have a friend, be a friend. If it's hard for you to keep friends, my question for you is, are you a good friend? Like I told you about Shino, listen, people, I love being with people who I can sit down and have conversations with, but there's something, when somebody genuinely cares for you, it's a big deal. When people ask you questions, it's a big deal. When people are concerned about you, it's a big deal. And so when people say, I'm telling you, this room is full of amazing people that I call friends. And if you don't feel like you don't have a friend, it's not their choice, because we all want friends. It's saying we gotta go out and saying, I want more of this. And the last one is this. Number 3 is this. Focus on your relationship with God. I know this is so cliche. I know you say, oh, I've heard this every single week. I know. Sometimes, can I just be honest? Sometimes as a pastor, here's what I feel like. I feel like I'm not telling you guys anything new. I'm always reminding you what you already know just to do it. Like I'm the great reminder. Remember? God loves you. Remember that? Like it's going to be okay. Remember that? Don't fear, okay? You know what I'm saying? All this kind of stuff. Next few weeks, we're going to have out worry and all this stuff. Listen, there's some movies out there. Listen, I'm not trying to dog love movies. My wife watches some love movies, romantic movies, and they're fine. But there's one out there that I just can't stand. There's philosophies out there. One is people say, well, you complete me. When I meet this person, they're going to complete this. Here's what I say to that. Psh. I don't have no other word to say besides that. Psh, I don't. Listen, there is not one person walking this earth that will ever complete you like Jesus Christ can. You can go to Abu Dhabi, you can go any place else, and listen, you can look all over this world for the person that is going to make your match, but you will never find anybody that will fill the void in your heart like Jesus Christ will. That's it. Now, does my wife add? Yes. I feel like we are good together. Like she is, I'm like 25% awesome. She's 75% awesome. She's just awesome. And I feel like we're better together. But I'm telling you, this is what I'm telling you. You have got to find your identity in Jesus Christ. And if you don't do that, nothing else will ever fill that void. Nothing. I can't think of anything. And if you're trying to find your identity in a relationship, or you're trying to find your identity in something else, listen, you work on this, and God will teach you how to work on this. If you work on this, if you focus on this, God will teach you how to work on this. And I'm telling you, here's what I believe is happening across America. When you think about Samson and Delilah, here's what I think is happening. I really believe Samson, with all his hair, a mighty man of God who was sold out, all of a sudden begins to share his weaknesses. And it's okay to share your weaknesses, but listen, all of a sudden he shares his weaknesses, and Delilah starts to put him asleep. I feel this spiritually at times that within our Christian circles, that's like the enemy is putting the church to sleep. And he's putting these relationships, and he's putting us and just saying, it's going to be okay. God's gonna take care of it, but he's just putting things to sleep, and he's putting to sleep. And in the midst of our no longer paying attention to the relationships, no longer paying attention to the world, no longer paying attention, we wake up and we go, where's God? Where am I? Where's my relationship at? Where's my wife? Where's my kids? Where's everything God promised me? And then we wonder why we don't have it anymore. And we say, where is this at? And yet we're the ones who have been just slowly falling asleep. So here's what I'm going to tell you today. Church, I'm telling you, it's time to wake up. It's time just to wake up and saying, God, what do you have for our marriage? What do you have for my heart? What do you have for my kids? What do you have for our family? Lord, am I being the father that you've called me to be? Am I being the brother that you've called me to be? Am I in a relationship that you've called me to be in? Am I doing what you've called me to do? Am I creating toxic things in this relationship? Do I need to go get counseling? Do I need to go get help? What do I need to do to make sure this gets better? And I'm just saying, that is all found in focusing up here. All of it. Everybody just stand up for the moment this morning. It's interesting because I wrote this down. Dan Brandon can come up. I wrote this down. It says, if we try to be satisfied with all the other relationships first, we will never be satisfied with him. Now, it's interesting to me because I think as I am not a master of this whole marriage thing. I'm just going to be honest. Like I said, my wife and I have silent arguments sometimes. Things happen. But I'm telling you, in this room, here's what I've been praying about this week. There is people in this room who are in relationships that you need to surrender over to the Lord. You literally need to lay it down. It might be a coworker, might be a boyfriend or girlfriend, it might be whatever it is, but you, even the Lord speaking to you right now and saying, this is not the way it's supposed to be. And you need to stop trying to control it, and you need to lay it before the Father. You need to lay it. Some of you in this room are in marriages right now that are just in a trying time. You're literally saying, I'm one of those people that I really wonder, like, am I supposed to be in this? And you're just saying in your heart, saying, there is manipulation, there is control. Things are toxic in this thing, and I don't know any else than to do. And I'm telling you, here's my promise. God wants to heal these relationships.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week as we continue the Toxic Sermon Series.